Politica culturali, Mihai Karsten Schwierer.
Il-aħkom għal-program iħor fil-sensiela il-politika kulturali Mihai Karsten Schwierer, għatmaslu fil-tmim il-sensiela l-lum 12 program, u f'dan il-program kif ġili namlu? Ħanħarsu lej kuntest lokali, imma mhux biss, u llum kuntent ħafna li bħala mistieden għandi xi ħadd li jaf lill-Malta, però jaħdem u jopera fil-kuntest Taljan, Ewropew u Mediterranju, kelli xorti niltaqa' miegħu kif se tisimgħu okkażjonijiet varji anke meta jiena kont naħdem Brussels. Fejn kien għamel numru ta' snin jaħdem il-mistidenti għaj illum u fl-istess ħin miegħu nistgħu nħarsu lej l-attwalità tal-politika kulturali imma anke forsi naraw ftit l-iżvilupp tagħha fil-kuntest lokali internazzjonali anki fil-kuntest li dejjem qed jinbidel tal-politika kulturali. Il-mistidenti għaj illum huwa Luca Bergamo li kien il-Viċi Sindku ta' Ruma bejn Lulju tal-2016 u Jannar li għadda l-2021 ja fil-Malta għaliex meta kien il-Segretarju Ġenerali ta' Culture Action Europe l-ikbar organizzazzjoni fl-Ewropa li tindirizza l-kultura b'mod ġenerali kien ġi Malta l-numru ta' seminars, fora, konsultazzjoni, diskussjonijiet minnaħa tal-Konsil Malti għall-Arti u anke fil-kuntest tal-Kapitali Ewropea tal-Kultura dik li għaddiet tal-Belt Valletta. Kullum ħanħarsu ftit li aspetti vari li Luca jista' jiddiskrivi u jiddiskutu magħna. Ħanaqleb għall-Ingliż, ovvjament, biex inkunu nistgħu niftehmu ma' kulħadd. Luca, I thank you for being with me on the program.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Welcome. As we've said, also when preparing for this program, the time is short and the topic is very vast. So to start off immediately, I wonder whether we could start from, as I jokingly told you before we started, sort of the micro level. But when talking about Rome, it's really hard to keep a straight face and say the micro level. Maybe it does apply to Malta more easily without the maybe. However,
it's a long history anyway.
Yes. Well, the journalism. I wonder whether, in terms of cultural policy currently, obviously without forgetting the pandemic, the COVID restrictions and the situation, but also maybe on a more general level, your 5 years as vice mayor of Rome, and also specifically taking the lead on the cultural development area, have obviously added to your experiences during a lifetime of working nationally but also internationally.
I don't know how to pack a reasonable answer. Let's put it this way. It certainly added very much to, in my experience, the understanding or my understanding of the impact of cultural life and how do I frame it in the broader picture of human rights. So I think that the experiences brought me to much better link and understand the link existing, which I envisaged before, but that exists between sustainability, so a different societal model, and the right to participate in cultural life of the community. So basically the connection existing between what was well understood after the Second World War with the Human Rights Declaration, where they stated at Article 27 that everyone has the right to freely participate in the cultural life of the community, enjoy the arts, and share in the progress of science, and what emerged what emerged later on, that is, you know, if you want, with the Club of Rome in the 70s, but now much more today, is that the, you know, so the human footprint on the planet is unsustainable. And how these two things connect to each other. And I strongly see the connection. And the connection resides in the fact that unless a human being learn to, let's say, to accept each other, to create social capital that embrace the differences, as, which doesn't mean canceling the differences, it's accepting that they exist, maybe even discussing, but, you know, there's legitimacy. And that, in that endeavor, the experiences of participating in the cultural life of the community, that's very important, the word. Freely participating in cultural life of the community. That was the Lehman Declaration. It's one of the conditions for the people to understand or to learn certain attitudes, which is curiosity, empathy, mutual understanding, trust. And without that quality, that attitude, you don't have a sustainable society, because if the prevailing values are competition and selfishness, you don't do sustainability. So if you want, that is some takeaway of the experience, but the experience somehow began with that assumption. In fact, we didn't call it cultural policy, but we labeled it cultural development policy.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, the foundation of that labeling is that the public sector, the state, has, according to our constitution, because this is stated in our constitution, Article 3, it has to remove the obstacles that prevent the citizens to participate in their social life and therefore the full human development. So what is the function of cultural policy, in my view, was to remove the obstacle that impede the fulfillment of Article 27, if you want to put it this way, which obviously swift largely the focus of the policy, because policy is no longer good and services to people's spare time, but is a fundamental individual right. And if you then want to deal with the inequalities that always applies as well in the fulfillment of the right, then first you need to acknowledge that there is a fundamental role for the public authority. So it's not everything market.
Not everything private.
Private. It's not everything commercial. It's not everything commodification. That's a lot of things.
Yeah.
And then you have to really understand the place you live in, how this is structured, what are the opportunities for the people to, not only, you know, social cultural inequalities, but even physical space. If you look, Roma is the widest city in Europe, second to London, okay, but London harbor 9 million inhabitants, while Roma 2.8 million. That means that we have 2,000 inhabitants per square kilometers, compared to the 21,000 in Paris. And that results from, you know, the historical, the ancient Rome, and the development that Rome was left, if you were uncontrolled during the fascists immediately after. So you have basically villages scattered here and there.
Spreading out.
Spreading, no? Spread. It's an urban sprawl within the urban area. So, where naturally the cultural institution, the main cultural facilities are nestled in the heart of the city, as everywhere, because they were not structured for the elite. So imagine the theaters and so on. So given that circumstances, one of the major challenges controlling as well a large number of cultural institutions, because we have 10 big cultural institutions that report to the city. We own it, okay? It's the Hopper House, the National Theater, museums. So there are 21 museums that report. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge
complex. Yes, it's a massive complex.
It is to push that complex to work as a system, not just as a single things and not competing to each other, and adopting the following guideline, that their objective is not only to serve the people that go to their premises, but provide their cultural offer far from them, so where the people live and they normally do not enjoy the cultural life, mm-hmm. not attend. So become part of a mechanism spreading cultural opportunities all around this vast territory, at the heart of which we put the public libraries. Because the public libraries, the civic libraries, are still the most distributed cultural institution in the city. If you want, together with schools is even more, but schools are not managed by the municipality. They are state run, and it's not at all easy to somehow to involve the school as a structure into a program and continuous cultural activity. So
you're reminding me, Luca, of parallel in a way, where currently there is a discussion for the second ever national cultural policy in Malta, with the consultation process going on. And the Malta Union for Teachers took a very strong stand against the shift of the schools of performing arts, including theater, drama, but also art and dance, shifting from a ministry, which is the one of education, to the one for culture. So I was wondering how, even within this almost obstacle race, which you described, not to get to some perfect cultural policy, but to fulfill a mission aiming at the fulfillment of human rights. Somehow these inequalities, which you mentioned, are existent at many, many, many levels, including the institutional ones and including the public level.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly, there are layers and layers of inequalities. That's obvious. You won't tackle all of them at the same time. I think that, you know, my approach, right or wrong, has been somehow based on the assumption that pushing the tools, okay, so the structures that were bound to report to me and to which also I mean, the city was providing massive funding, so pushing them to consider at their core the mission of the Article 27 would have progressively generated a culture towards the Article 27 and obviously a change, an attitude and program is changed, which is obviously part of the things.
So fundamental to the structure. Luca, let me just pause a moment there for a breather and come back for the development of this, which is most interesting. Thank you. ħallejna ftit iktar mużika dejjem produta minn Sandro Zerafa, irġiel ringrazzjah ta' dak. Lura konverzazzjoni ma' Luca Bergamo illum, illi kien il-Viċi Sindku ta' Ruma law l-aħħar ħames snin, speċjalment ffukat fuq materja kulturali. Luca, just before that pause, we were saying how within the structure of policy, be it local, national, of a big city like Rome with many different realities, but always keeping in mind also other realities, Europe and the Mediterranean. The shift from theory to practice, from policy to strategy, is very challenging. However, there are these main principles. You mentioned the Declaration for Human Rights. You mentioned also the Agenda 21 for the development of cities and local governments, which you also have been very active in within the last few years as Vice President of the Culture Committee. That step, how complex is it?
It's very complex. sorry, just for you, I've pasted in a conversation here a link, and the link is the somehow final report. It's almost a book that tells the story of the experience. So what were the principles, what were the conditions, and how, what we did and what we couldn't do. Unfortunately, I found just the Italian version, but there is an English version, so as soon as I have it, I share with you.
And I'll put it on our social media channels to make sure our listeners see it.
For the purpose of having an idea and understanding what has been done, what were the principles, what the connection between the dots, it's a useful document. And I consider very important to do that document. We've been working almost a year before delivering, because in my experience was that when I got to the office, I found nothing. There was just one single, not two pages written by my predecessor saying everything is wonderful, it goes well. So no data, no nothing.
And so in a way, as you know, many Maltese travel to Italy, follow Italy through the news channels. So I can imagine this comes maybe only partly as a surprise, because it happens even in our context, where maybe it's a bit like a train going. After a while, you realize maybe there's no driver in front.
Okay. So what the challenge between theory and practice? I mean, let's say that I'm not sure that what I say is meaningful for anybody, but by my point of view, the most important challenge is to make everybody understand what are the connections between the principles and the actual reality.
Mm.
And then let the people find or elaborate their own way in order to, try to make the principle working in reality, because there's no way you do everything from the center, there's no way you direct everything, there's no way you control everything, so unless there is a culture, a shared culture, and that culture somehow includes the notion of consistency, so meaning I use that word, then there are implications, and let me check in what I'm planning to do, what they are implications, or what I have to do so that implication come out. That's the basically the condition. And I just try to make an example. If you say that everyone has the right to freely participate in the cultural life of the community, okay, you say that you, me, anybody can decide whether wants or not wants to. So that as an example, imply democracy.
There is freedom. So
because
choice.
Freedom, choice. But then as well, implies that you don't have barriers in the case of you want to. And barriers might be your senses, your financial resources, the place you live, the time you have, the language, no, you are able or not able to understand, and, you know, take it. So if I say to the opera house, what that imply for you to do that, taking on that, nobody understand the opera, nobody, not everybody understand the opera. Certainly, a few ones go to the opera house because no, it's a place, it's expensive, it's also somehow repulsive for those that, you know, come into a very formal context and blah blah blah. So what how do you deal with? And one of the solution we came out was, okay, you know what, we organize a different kind of opera house. We put the opera house on track. We somehow shorten a bit the classical operas, but it's a super, you know, serious, you know, even, you know, philologically accurate mm-hmm, works mm-hmm. in terms of music. And we bring the opera on the squares in the suburbs, next to the public libraries. And then we allow people that have never seen opera to enjoy opera, maybe in a modern interpretation, so that the scenes are understandable, whatever. Yeah. But come in, yeah. Enjoy the things together, so they also generate social capital, so they yes. become aware there is someone else next to him, her, that they've never knew, that enjoy the same things.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, break barriers,
mm-hmm.
not connect people. And they learn that existing opera, they enjoy opera, they have the public money spent for providing them an opportunity, and you do it next, in the next square, to the, in the near square to the yeah. public library, because after the event, you allow the people to go to the public library, where they found, maybe, that the next day,
exactly.
there is a there is an event of culture, of science mm-hmm. promotions, or something that is related to something.
Yeah. And so, Luca, I'm sure our listeners are enjoying this, but we're coming to the last few minutes already of our program. No, not at all. And one needs a bit of time to sort of explain the theories, but also the practices. So in our concluding remarks, I wonder what you said, which is very much centered on people-to-people approaches, having public institutions work alongside even private organizations in today's particular circumstances, which won't be a future of a few months, but which, as many indicators seem to suggest, may go on for longer. Mm-hmm. More virtual realities, more time, digitally connected, inequality is growing, even in cities like Rome. Mm-hmm. We see this happening even in a small place like Malta. What might you see as being the most of urgent actions to be taken?
I think the most urgent action is a long-term action. So it's especially in larger city. I think Malta, is, some extent, is different. It's a physically different place. Okay, but in large cities, you need to somehow embrace the notion of the 15-minute city, because you have to provide the opportunity to be together in under certain circumstances as well, even when, let's say, you say, I don't know, I can't get the English word, but anyway, you do the smart working massively, which is but not to force the people to be at home. You need to find ways to allow people to be together in safety,
yes,
under control, but being mm-hmm. together, mm-hmm. because The simple idea that everything becomes as we are doing now, it's, you know, this killing the human experience of being a society,
mm-hmm.
or transforming in a way that I don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the perspective. In the meanwhile, one of the challenges, you have to use the digital platforms, because the digital in general, but you need to, you know, lower barriers, because there's a lot of barriers. We have massive challenge in Italy, as an example, because we are putting schools in distance largely, yeah. and then you have families that compete inside the families for the band. Someone has to work, someone has to study, the other one, they don't have physical space. I have physical space, luckily, and I live in few, but someone there narrow, how do they...
Won't have the taxes.
So, but beside that, you need to find way for, you know, the digital experiences, including element of social perception. I don't know. Just think the difference between having this conversation with an audience in front of you and not having it.
Exactly.
Okay. This is for you, that now for you that you speak, deliver, and for the audience as well. So how the evolution in on the digital sphere may enable these kind of things, it will impact. And I see that Amazon and others are, you know, showing something that you watch the movie together with someone else.
Yes, yes. In a way, trying not to allow the barriers to get out of hand and direct more.
Some of them, but it's a very, very initial. So I think that there are different layers. Anyway, we need to find as much as possible the way to preserve and protect social spaces where we meet in flesh. I think we organize the function of the cities, the functioning of the cities, it has an impact on, let's say, the spread of diseases, but as well allows a certain level of things. And if you consider Rome, I'm closing on this, Rome has a reasonably low impact compared to Milan or whatever. And the main reason, it's not said, but this is my opinion, the main reason, and that being Rome a city of offices, so it's tertiary work related. Once you remove tourism, that was basically the people, the majority are smart working. So the inner mobility has not followed down.
That's right. Luca, that's the reality, and somehow I appreciate your comments also with this long-term perspective on how to keep investing in people and sort of generating this social capital.
Well, we decided we give up and let artificial intelligence.
We'll see that next year. Luca, I thank you very much for being with me on this program.
My pleasure.
Ne ringrazia l'essemia tana tali seguna o tali seguabli l'intervista ma Luca Bergamo u nil ta' għal program il-ġimma d-dila. Sahir. Thank you.